Man, good morning, good morning. Good morning, everyone. Good morning. My name is Miles. I'm the pastor. Welcome to church this morning. Why don't you take a second, say hello to someone next to you, meet somebody new. Good morning, everyone. Let's see your Bibles this morning. Word. Let's see your pens. Amen. Your lesson plan. Lesson plan. Let's turn to Mark chapter 14. Mark 14. Very good to be here. Last week, I was not here. My wife and I went away for the weekend, and it was her birthday. She turned 27. See, you laugh, and that must mean she doesn't look 27. You're trying to tell me why? No, like, she's not here to hear you laugh at her. I'm 28. Why is that so funny? And we had a good time. It was her birthday on Sunday, so we were out Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday night. So what do you want to do for your birthday? And fellas, best thing you could ever hear, what did she say? I want to watch football. Yeah. Says she wanted to watch football. That's exactly what we did. We watched football. Charger game was on that night. We watched the game and had a great time. We really don't do a lot for when we go away. We just kind of walk around like old people, just take it very slow, very slow. There is a man in the Bible named Daniel. When Daniel was a little boy, he was kidnapped and deported from his homeland to Babylon, where he lived the rest of his life. And he ended up being promoted in the government, was a very faithful believer of God. And when he was in Babylon as an older man, a law was made that made his religion illegal. And the law said if anyone prayed to any god for 30 days, they would be thrown in a lion's den. So the question was, what would Daniel do? And the law was made specifically for Daniel because the people who tricked the king into making this law wanted Daniel dead. And so they made this law, and Daniel went home, opened his window up, and prayed three times a day as he always had done. If your faith was put on the line, or you were put on the line like that, maybe not a life and death situation, but a situation where you were going to get embarrassed, your friends would talk behind your back, your boss may criticize you for your faith. Would you deny Christ or not? And if you don't want to deny Christ, how can you prepare yourself for such situations? Because they will come. In the story we're going to look at today, Peter denies Christ three times. And what we're going to look at is three things you can do, three things you can practice every day in preparation, because that day will come. It may not be a life and death situation, but it will be a situation where you are avoiding embarrassment, avoiding being singled out, avoiding feeling uncomfortable, so you will compromise your faith. Well, I want to challenge you in three things you can do, three things you can practice to strengthen you. In Matthew chapter 14, Jesus is preparing to go to his death. Judas has agreed to betray him. The Jews have plotted to kill him. And he's at his Last Supper. And in the Last Supper, he is going to warn his disciples about what's going to happen. And so we're going to pick up the story there. If you look at chapter 14, verse 18, it says, as they sat and ate, Jesus says, "Assuredly I say to you, one of you who eats with me will betray me." Everyone say betray. Betray. Say betray. Betray. Betray is one level of denial, and betray was what Judas was going to do, and Christ knew all about it. And betray meant that he was going to sell Jesus out. He was going to turn Jesus over to the authorities to be killed. Now, you and I don't have the opportunity to sell out the physical Christ to be crucified. He's already been crucified. But we can sell him out in a conversation where people are talking about Jesus being Lord, and you don't defend that he is God. You say, well, you know, maybe he was just a good teacher. Or maybe he isn't the only way. Maybe, you know, maybe he and Buddha are the same, or he and Muhammad are the same, or he and the Pope are the same, whatever it is you want to say. You sell him out and deny the fact that he is God. You may have done that before. You may be like Judas. Or you say, hey, let me bring into question the validity of Christ, like everybody else does. Number two, look at verse 27. Verse 27. Jesus said, all of you will be made to stumble because of me this night, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. Everyone say stumble. Stumble, stumble is another thing that's going to happen. He says, all of y'all going to stumble. That means all of you disciples of mine, one of you going to betray me, you sell me out. But all of y'all are going to stumble. You're going to stumble in your faith. You're going to say something you shouldn't say. You're going to hide when you shouldn't be hiding. You're not going to be as bold as you should be. You're going to deny you know me. So all of us are going to stumble. All of us have stumbled. Now, there's a difference between what Judas did and what the disciples did, because as we're going to see in a few minutes, one of them had permanent consequences and one of them had temporary consequences. So he says some of y'all are going to stumble. And then look what happens in the next verse. After I've been raised, I will go before you to Galilee. Peter said, even if all are made to stumble, I will not. You always want to be very careful in what you say you will never do. How many of you have ever said, I will never do this, only to someday do it? Don't ever say never. In 1983, I was in a crack house here in San Diego. We went there to buy cocaine, and my friend went there to do crack. And we were in this crack house, and I had never done it. And the guy was in the bathroom making it. So I asked the guy, can I sit in here with you? And this, you know, little tiny bathroom. And this guy was in there, he was in his underwear and little t-shirt, and he was all skinny, he was scratching and shaking himself, and he was gone. But he was making this stuff, and he was like 120 pounds, and he was just shriveling up. And I just sat in there for like an hour with this guy and talked to him and watched him make this stuff. So I sat on the edge of the tub, he was sitting on the toilet and making the stuff in the sink, and we were just talking, and then my friend came and was smoking it, and he was standing this close to me. And I was just looking at him. And I said, you know, I will never do that. I never did. But I went in the next room and did cocaine. I said, this is what I'll do. But I remember a day when I said I would never do that. I'm never going to do cocaine. Never. Oh, but I did for a year and a half. Don't ever say never. What you need to say is, Lord willing, please protect me. Lord willing. And believe me, I hear a whole bunch of sins of people. I did this, I did this. And my wife and I always pray and say, Lord, protect us from that. Never say never. You're not above it. Look at what verse 30. Jesus said, assuredly I say to you, today, everyone say today. Even this night, say this night. This night. Before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times. Peter, you're never going to deny me? Let me enlighten you, brother man. Tonight, today, before the rooster crows twice, you're going to deny me three times. Not once, not twice. Three times, lady. Three times. Now, I don't want to confuse you with numbers. Everyone say twice. Twice. How many times is the rooster going to crow? Twice. Twice. Before the rooster crows twice, you're going to deny me three times. It's critical for you to understand that number two in a minute. Now, why is this important? This is important because every single one of us, as we walk with God, we are going to be challenged, stretched in our faith. And our faith is going to be pushed to the limit. You are going to be put in circumstances where you're going to feel uncomfortable. It's going to be hard for you to stand up for what you know. And it's very critical for you to understand that that will happen. And a matter of fact, if you're walking with God, it's going to happen all the time. It's not a bad thing. It's just reality. Why? Because what God has called us to do is beyond our own ability. So it's very important for you to understand that these incidences are going to happen, and you can and should prepare yourself for them. So when it happens, you don't deny Christ. Amen? Three things we're going to practice. The reason that Daniel was able to pray when his life was on the line is because he practiced being faithful to God ever since he was a little kid. The Bible says that Daniel prayed three times a day, as was his custom in Daniel 6:10. As was his custom. He didn't know any different. That's why. And so we're going to talk about three things you can practice over and over and over again in your preparation to deny, not deny Christ. Let's look at number one in your notes. First, practice defending your faith by regularly explaining what you believe. Practice defending your faith. The Bible says you should always be ready to give an answer for the hope that is in you when people ask. And they may not ask with their mouth. They just may ask by watching you. Inquisitively, they're asking, tell me why you are like you are. You got to be ready to give them an answer. Look at chapter 14, verse 66. Jesus has been arrested. He's being interrogated in the high priest's home upstairs. And Peter's downstairs in the courtyard. And it says in verse 66, chapter 14, now as Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the servant girls of the high priest came. And when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked at him and said, you also were with Jesus of Nazareth. But he denied it and said, I neither know nor understand what you are saying. The first denial was a denial of ignorance. I don't know. Do you believe that Jesus is the only way? I don't know. You believe the Bible's true? I don't know. Do you think there's any difference between Muhammad and Muslims and Christians or Jews? I don't know. Do you think creation or evolution is true? Don't be that person. Don't be that person. Whenever you feel like you got to say, I don't know, you need to go home and find out that answer. That's the best way to learn, by the way. You know, someone said you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it drink. That's a lie. I can make a horse drink anytime I want. How? I run it around, put salt in his mouth, make it tired and thirsty, and bring it to the water. It's easy. You know how you want to know how you learn? Whenever you have a question, go look up the answer. You'll learn so much stuff so fast. Don't be that person that settles for not knowing. When I was a little kid, little 8, 9, 7, we used to play football with my dad in the street all the time. Until lights went on, the sun was gone, it was pitch black outside, and my father would create these scenarios. He said, okay, it's fourth down and 97 yards to go. There's 50,000 people, cameras. I was like, okay, Dad. I was like, you know, a little 37 pound. Okay, Dad, you got to catch this ball. If you drop this ball, you're going to lose the game. Okay. He would run down, make a left, make a right. At the fire hydrant, make a right, and then crack in the street, make another right, and I'm hitching right over the manhole cover. Okay, God. Okay, Dad. And I bam. And then we would go in the house, and he would take out a pencil and interview me. ABC. There was no ESPN at the time. It was ABC. Okay, and I was a little kid. Tell me what happened in that play. Tell me what you were thinking. And we would practice. So when it really was going to happen, and it really did happen, I was ready. How are you going to know how to share your faith? You ever hear someone say, well, you know, I don't really get fed at that church, and I'm going to go to another. I don't really get it. You know what? You are never, ever going to get fed everything you need at any church. It's impossible. Because what you need to walk with God requires so much more than you can get at a church on a Sunday. Even if we were here all day. And believe me, I could talk to you all day. Matter of fact, I do talk all day. Y'all only here once. I'm here six times. Five on Sunday and once last night. And if you sat here all day, and if every one of those sermons was different, which they're not, but they're pretty much the same, but if they were different, you still wouldn't get enough. You have to read on your own. You have to practice talking about it to other people who do not believe what you believe. That's how you grow. You ain't going to grow. Trust me. You ain't going to grow in your little Christian bubble. It ain't going to happen. Now, let me take that back. You're not going to become what God wants you to be. You'll grow, but you'll be a midget. You won't be ready for someone to ask you, throw you a curveball question or curse at you when they're witnessing to them or call you a hypocrite while you're witnessing to them. Oh, well, how do I do with that? Is there a verse in the Bible? No, you tell them to be quiet and shut their mouth. That's what you do. or you say, look, what about this? What about this? You're not going to learn that by yourself. You have to practice. And so what can you do? One, practice on each other. Give yourself each other questions. What's wrong with that? It's so basic. Tell your friend, ask me these 10 questions. How do you know you're saved? Is salvation eternal? Can you lose your salvation? Whatever. And you ask each other questions and go back and forth and practice. It seems like, well, wait, really? Absolutely. And then once you feel comfortable doing it with someone you know, go do it with someone you don't know. Stop somebody at your job on the airport, and on the bus, on the trolley, wherever it is, and say, can I ask you a couple questions? Can I talk to you about something? Yeah, I'm just trying to practice my faith, and I just want to talk to you about it, and just respond any way you want. And I want to talk to you about Jesus, and just ask a question. Do you know you're a sinner? What do you think about heaven and hell? What do you think? And just have a question. I tell you, I've done this with people. They get saved. Not all the time, but I've had people get saved that way. Just by practicing with them. Why? Because you're sharing the truth with them. Practice. Now look what happens next. How many times the rooster going to crow? Okay. Verse 68. Peter denied it, saying, I neither know nor understand what you are saying. And he went out on the porch, and the rooster crowed. Oh, 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 oh. That's like a dog, I think. Can't do a rooster. Someone do a rooster for me. It really sound a whole lot different. Let's everyone do their rooster imitation on three. One, two, three. Does anybody here have a rooster? Anybody here from Ramona? The rooster didn't crow twice at the end. The rooster crowed the first time after the first denial. It was a warning. Peter, that's one. You know, God warns you. Have you ever get ready to sin and you know it? You're going to call somebody up, whether it be for just some kind of do dirty activity, whether it be drugs, alcohol, sexual, lying, cheating, stealing, whatever. It don't matter. You get ready to call your little contact up. And you know, I shouldn't do this. You walk around the phone. All right. Do. No one's there. Whew. Go, 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 go. Then you walk around 5 minutes later. All right, let me try it again. And you over and over and over, and God's saying, stop. You think, okay, God got you up the hook. Then you get in your car and drive over there. And as you're walking to the car, every step you make, guilt, guilt, guilt. You put the key in the door, turn on the car. Back up. I shouldn't be doing this. And the closer you get to the house, the lights are off. Instead of going back home, you get out, start knocking on the door. No one answers the door. You go around the back. And you just keep pressing. God's like, I am trying to save you. I'm trying to warn you. Oh, 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 oh. You would have thought Peter would have got it. Now, a lot, you know, we have a tendency to criticize the people in the Bible. We would have done the same thing. We do the same thing. As you know. Look at number two in your notes. Practice being a faithful friend by being accountable to someone in your faith. Practice being a faithful friend. Peter denied being one of the disciples. Look what it says in verse 69. The servant girl saw him again and began to say to those who stood by him, "This is one of them." But he denied it again. She says, "He's one of those disciples, one of Jesus' accomplices, one of those conservative Christians, one of those people that voted for President Bush." Believe me, I'm not into politics, and I'm saying you should have or shouldn't have, but I'm just going to say that's how they're going to label you. We're not called to necessarily be in one political party or not. There are Christians in both parties, believe it or not, for some of you. That has nothing to do with the Bible, and that's not my agenda. But my point is you don't want to be associated. So you go, that's not me. Now, do Christians do and say dumb things? Yes. Do they look like knuckleheads sometimes? Yes. But so do non-Christians. You don't think non-Christians do dumb things? You don't think they look like knuckleheads? Oh, yes. Well, you know, I'm not going to church. I don't want to say I go to church because hypocrites are in church. They ain't hypocrites at your job. They ain't hypocrites at the Charger game. Oh, yeah. No, I don't see you not going there. If you're a Christian, say you're a Christian. I'm not ashamed. Hey, do we got knuckleheads in church? I am so glad there are knuckleheads here. I really am. You know, it would be, and I sincerely mean this with all my heart. If all of y'all were saved and all you wanted to learn was the so-called deep things of God, I would not have fun. That is not my calling. And by the way, that's not what Jesus died for. I'm not saying you shouldn't be growing as your faith. But what I'm saying is that Christ died for the sinner, the person that's lost, to give them hope. If you have hope, guess what? Now get on Christ's team to go get the sinner. And so, as a Christian, you need to say, who in my life am I accountable to? Who in my life that is so strong in their faith that I'm accountable to, that I have a relationship with, that when someone says, those Christians, I say, no. I stand up for not only the ones I don't know, but the ones that I know are like brothers to me, sisters to me. They hold my arms up. They're my role models. They're the people teaching me. You don't want to be so disassociated with Christians where you come and slide in church and slide out of church and blend in with the world so you have your cake and eat it too. I've told you, talked to you many times about my wife being able to go to sleep real fast. She goes to sleep in about a minute. And so every night, because I'm a night person, she goes to sleep before me. So pretty much I'm sitting in bed reading something while she's going to bed. And I watch her go to sleep because it only takes about a minute. So she'll get all snuggled up, give me a kiss, and then put her head down the pillow facing me and just look at me. And if she's really tired, she'll kind of talk trash and say, "Watch the master work." And she's going to go to sleep like in like 30 seconds. So she'll just, And depending on the night, what's going on, I may wake her up just so I can watch her go back to sleep again. And you say, "Debbie," she's like, what? Nothing. She'll go, It takes me like 15 minutes to an hour to go to sleep. But what really bothers me, it doesn't bother me, but really irritates me, just gets into my skin. Doesn't really get into my skin, but is how fast she will get up in the morning. She'll be asleep, dead to the world. Drool all. And the alarm will go off, and she'll just go, it'll go, and she'll go, clank, and just get up out of bed. That quick. There's no like, She just sits up, clank, and just across the floor. And I'm thinking, what? I'm rolling around the bed for like a half hour. What happened? Is it tomorrow yet? She's cooking breakfast already. So 4 days ago, I said, "Debbie, I got to get up." And you know, you always get up real quick, and you gotta help me get up. She should just follow my lead. Every day since that day, I have waken up, got up, came out of sleep 30 minutes before her. God just wakes me up. So I would sit there, my eyes open, just waiting for the alarm. Because I want to jump out of the bed before her. So I'm sitting there going, yeah, just wait for that alarm to go off. Yeah, I'm going to beat it this time. And you know how alarm clocks, at least my alarm clock, before it goes off, it starts to wind up. Like, instead of going, it goes, Anybody have a alarm clock like that? Okay, it's kind of like it gets ready. You can hear it just kind of, I'm getting ready to come on now. Well, as soon as my clock started going, I jumped up out of the bed. Said, yeah, I beat you. I ain't got nothing to do. Ain't no reason for me to get up. Well, that one particular day it was. But you know what? The accountability with her on that, every morning since then, I would get up. Now, I'm a night person, but I want to be a night and morning person. So I had to have her. Who in your life can ask you about your sin? Your Bible reading, your drugs and alcohol addiction, your depression, your pornography. Who can ask you? Who can ask you about your anger problem, how you treat your wife, your husband, your girlfriend, your boyfriend? Who can ask you those questions? If you don't have anybody like in that life, in your life, oh yeah, it'd be easy for you to just foo-foo all the Christians because you don't know what it's about to be a Christian, to be accountable. You can't have accountability relationship during a sermon. You got to do that outside. This is only one part of the puzzle. You have to have someone in your life that can look you in the eye and say, how are you doing really? Don't give me that. And you have to tell them the answer. Someone like that. And if you are in a committed relationship like that with other Christians, oh, let me tell you something. They will become close to you than family. Why? Because God's going to knit, not that that's the goal. God's going to knit your heart together in your most personal issues in your life. And as iron sharpens iron, so another person sharpens another person. Your life and your faith will be so, so powerful. And so when someone criticizes one of those Christians, you're going to say, you don't know what you're saying. Because your perception of Christianity is so surface. But when you have someone like that, your perception of Christianity will be so deep. Number three, practice being the presence of God in your life. Pursue a daily God experience. Say God experience. God experience, God experience is that, you know what? You had an encounter with God. You know, we spend a lot of time during the day talking to ourselves. Start thinking, you got a decision to make. Let me think what I would say. You ever thought about this? That you are not going to tell yourself anything you don't know? Think about it. When you ask someone advice, you ask them advice because you're assuming that maybe they know something you don't know. Well, why would you ask yourself something that you don't know when you already know it? Self, what do you think about that? Well, you already know I don't think anything. That's why you're asking. I can't help you. Now, I'm not saying you don't think, but there's someone who knows more than you, who you should be talking to. It's God. 1 Corinthians 2, 9, and 10. You can write that down if you want. It says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, the mind cannot conceive, it has not conceived, or has not entered into the mind of a man, the things that God has prepared for us. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit, who searches all things, yes, the deep things of God, as it pertains to your life. And every day you need to have an encounter with God, where God reveals himself to you through your prayer life, through your study, through your devotion, through your meditation. And God reveals himself to you, and throughout the day, you are leaning on him, communicating with him. He's communicating to you. And you are practicing that every day. If all you do is come to church, if that's it, and you think this is going to carry you all week, you got the wrong perception of what this is for. That is not the intention of this service. And matter of fact, that's not the intention of any church service. Your walk with God is really your relationship with God. It's not church. Church is just part of that. It's your everyday dependence on God, your everyday practicing the presence of God, listening to him, obeying him, trusting him, allowing him to lead and guide you, and having people in your life who can help you in that process, this being one of those encounters. That's it. But if you practice the presence of God every day, if you are practicing sharing your faith, talking to people about your faith on a regular basis, if you are accountable to someone, to that process, when you get confronted with denying Jesus, oh, what? What? What you want to talk about? You'll already be ready. But if you think that just coming here is going to get you ready, it'll never happen. It's not intended to happen. You have to do it on your own. That's like people who go to the gym. I know this is some of you. And please don't be offended by this. But if it offends you, good, go to the gym more often. You go to the gym once a week or once a month, and you do some Rudy Poop thing. You have a bottle of water for the only time during the week, and you think, I ain't losing weight, or I'm not getting in shape. Duh. Yeah. You think that's going to do it? Oh, no, you got the hurt, baby Bubba, every day. Every day. At least 6 days. At least 6 days a week. It just ain't going to happen. Same thing, same principle is true in the spiritual life. Now, finally, there's one more concept you have to realize, and one more reason you got to avoid denying Christ, is that there are consequences for denying Christ that are permanent. Now, Peter cried. Look what it says in verse 72. Verse 72. The second time the rooster crowed, Peter called to the mind of the word of the Lord that he said, before the rooster crows twice, you deny me three times. And he went on and he cried. And when he thought about it, he wept. Peter was restored by Christ. Peter was used by Christ. It wasn't the end of the world. But Judas committed suicide. There are consequences to denying Christ that are permanent. Self-inflicted permanent? Suicide. Suicide comes when your pain is too much to bear in your own mind and you decide to end your pain. And inflict pain on others, by the way. Or, the Bible says in Mark chapter 8, if Jesus says, if you deny me, I will deny you. If you live a lifestyle of denial of my presence in your life, my deity, my lordship in your life, then I'll deny you in front of my Father. It's very simple. You know, I know people say, well, God loves everybody. God's unconditional love for everybody doesn't mean God's unconditional approval of everybody. Those are two different things. And if your life is, I don't want Christ in my life up to this point, or I am consistently going to deny, I know him, I'm just going to slide in and slide out, beware. Don't be deceived. God will not be mocked. Whatever a man sows, that he will reap. If you sow onto the flesh, of the flesh, you will reap death. If you're living a life that's all about you, then you're going to get death. But if you sow onto the Spirit, you will of the Spirit reap life. If you say, no, 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 I want to be fully committed to the Lord. I don't want to live a lifestyle of denial. I don't want people to look at me and be shocked when they find out I'm a Christian. They're a Christian? I would have never known. Bad sign. And you may say, well, that's because my Christianity is private. If your Christianity is private in that way, you are just like this. Because God has not called you to have a private faith. He called you to have a public faith. He's given you the ministry and message of reconciliation. Our life should be a light. Not only what we directly say to people and directly do for people, but just the way we are. And if you walk with God, he will flow through you like rivers of water where people can't deny being in God's presence when they're with you. Can't. If you say today, you know what? I don't want to deny Christ anymore. I don't want my lifestyle to be a life of denial. In other words, I've never asked Christ and I don't want a Christ in my life. That's one level of denial. And you're saying, I don't want to be that non-Christian anymore. Or you're a Christian. And you've been like Peter, not just three times, over and over. The rooster crows so much, he's like, he can't crow no more. That's why his neck is all jiggly. In a minute, we're going to pray. You're going to have an opportunity to say, Lord, I'm done with denying, and I'm going to commit to practice over and over and get ready so when my chance comes up to stand up for the faith, I'm going to be ready. Let's all bow our heads, close our eyes. Lord, thank you so much for your faithfulness to us. Thank you so much for your goodness. Thank you so much, God, for being patient. You watch us every day act like we don't know you, and yet you give us another chance. Your denial may be that you don't know Jesus as your Savior at all. Or you're a Christian and you know you've been hiding, trying to blend in too much in the world. Either one of you, if you want to make a commitment today that you don't want to be guilty of that anymore, just pray with me in the privacy of your heart. Pray, dear God, I don't want to deny you anymore. I don't want to turn my back on you anymore. I believe you died for me and rose from the dead. And I believe you love me, God. Jesus, please forgive me. I surrender my life to you. I commit my life to you. I want to walk with you faithfully from this point forward. Thank you, God. If this morning you're praying that prayer with us, this morning you're saying, yes, Lord, I'm giving my life to you. Yes, Lord, I want to be committed. I don't want to live a life of denial anymore. Eyes closed, heads bowed. If that's you this morning, just stand to your feet. Acknowledge Christ's forgiveness in your life. God bless you. Stay standing, please. Good. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Very good. God bless you. God bless you. Very good. God bless you. God bless you. Very good. We see you. God bless you. God bless you. Very good. God bless you. God bless you too. Stay standing. Good. God bless you. God bless you. Good. God bless you. Now we're going to ask all y'all who are standing and anybody else, as we welcome you to the family of God, as we welcome you as one of our brothers and sisters, we're going to ask you to step out of your seat and come on down here to the altar. Let's give them a hand as they come on down. Amen. God bless you, sir. God bless you. 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 Huh? God bless you. 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 Amen. The one thing about Peter and all the disciples, that even though they all did stumble, God used every single one of them, and he restored every single one of them. And they all, in the end, died for their faith. They were so committed. And them stumbling was just something that happened. But God didn't desert them. He doesn't desert us like that. All he wants us to do is trust him, trust him, trust him. The Bible says a righteous man falls seven times and gets up again. God is not one to turn his back on us, but we can't turn our back on him either. So we're going to pray for y'all, then we're going to send y'all out, and we'll follow that young man right there in a minute. Next week, we're going to have a quiz on the book of Mark, so come with your brains ready to rock and roll. Amen? You don't need to know anything if you're thinking, what are we supposed to know? Just bring your brain. You'll have fun. We'll have fun, right, for all the people who've been here before? Amen? The quizzes are a lot of fun. It's not like school quiz. I give you all the answers. So let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for all these people. Thank you so much for their courage and their faith. And I pray you bless them and honor their step of faith this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. You can take a right and go that way, please. Yeah.